So last week, I wasn't feeling well, and so I had asked Pastor Kurt if he would preach for me, and this was supposed to be his week, and now this week he and some of his family aren't feeling well. So he couldn't have been here anyway, so it was good that he and I switched. And so I had my sermon all ready for next Sunday. In fact, Saturday we had brought it here, and Stacy and I had done some things here at the church. And I was waiting at home for Stacy, and she came home, and I said, "So how did everything go?" And she said, "Good." And she was telling me about the service, and she said, "And Pastor Kurt talked about truth." Well, I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, he talked about truth." Well, like I said, my sermon was already done, and we're going through Acts, and this is Ananias and Sapphira and telling the truth. So, you know, when the Lord repeats something, that means he wants us to get it. Because there's not that often in the Word that he says stuff twice. But when he says it twice, he wants us to be sure to understand it. So this is two messages about truth. You ready? All right. So we are in Acts 4. I'm going to go ahead and start this. The volume sounds good to everybody. So Acts 4. If you want to turn there with me. And you remember last time we talked about, in Acts 4, we talked about being an encourager. And we looked at the fact that Joseph was actually nicknamed what? Barnabas, son of encouragement. So our text today is Acts 5, 1 through 12. So I'll give you a minute to turn there. Acts 5, 1 through 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 5, 1 through 12. You ready? "But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain yours? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? For you have not lied to men, but to God.' As he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up, covered him up, carried him out, and buried him." Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me, did you sell your land for such and such a price?" And she said, "Yep, that was the price." And Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Come on. And great fear came over all the church and over all who heard of these things. At the hand of the apostles, however, many signs and wonders were taking place, and the people were all together in one accord in Solomon's porch. So I want to explain a little bit about that having all things in common. Some people think that that meant, well, maybe they were living in a commune. Maybe they sold all their property and came to the temple and camped out. Well, that would be like if we did that. And we all came, and some of us lived on the porch out front, and others of us pitched tents in the back. It doesn't say that they did that. But what they did do, if they had something extra, so you had a piece of jewelry and you felt like you wanted to sell that jewelry, and so you sold it for $100 and you brought it in and you gave it to the benevolence fund. You gave it toward the needy and those who didn't have enough food, or maybe they didn't have a place to live. Or maybe you owned an extra piece of property like Ananias and Sapphira did. So you sold it and you brought that money in to the church. Well, you could decide how much you wanted to give. There was no compulsion that if you sold something for $1,000, you gave the whole $1,000. But I can imagine something like this happened. Ananias, for whatever reason, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, went up to his wife and he said, "Hey, you know that property that your parents gave us when we got married that we thought maybe someday we would use there at the other end of town? We're never going to use that. So let's sell it, and we'll keep some of it. But when we give the money to the church, we're going to tell them that was the price that we got for it." Now, maybe he just wanted to look good. Maybe somebody else had sold a property for that price, and he didn't want them to get looked at more highly than him. So that's what they did. They sold the property, let's say for $2,000. They said, "You know, we're going to keep $500 of that. But we're going to tell them we're giving them all of it." And that was the lie. So what does the Word of God, what does God have to say about lying? You ready? Hey, you listening? Okay. I wasn't sure if you all just nodded off on me or what happened there for a minute. Okay, so what does the Word of God say about the truth, about not lying? Well, you all know in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, this is from the Amplified. "You shall not testify falsely," that is, lie, "withhold the truth, or manipulate the truth against any person." Wow. Not lie, not withhold the truth, or manipulate the truth against any person. Psalm 51:6, David says this about God. "You, God, desire truth from the heart." So being truthful is important to God. This is what you must do. Tell the truth. Stop telling lies. "I hate these things," says the Lord. Zechariah 8. That's pretty clear. I don't think we have to say, I don't know what the word actually means there. Jesus calls himself the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So it's part of who he is. And if you and I are in Jesus and we are followers of Jesus and we are becoming like Jesus, that means that we want to value truth as highly as he values truth. All right, so let's go back to Acts 5. All right, so returning to Acts 5, some interesting questions are raised there, some interesting points. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" Huh. So if Satan is having an influence on us, then that means that we've somehow opened the door. Was it maybe his desire to impress? And he wanted so much to impress other people that allowed him to hear Satan saying something to him? Or maybe he needed to be valued. Maybe he didn't feel like others in the church considered him important. Now he was going to be important because he was giving money, given all the money that he and his wife had gotten. Then Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Lie to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means you ignored his voice and chose instead to listen to Satan's. That means when Satan came and said, "Hey, I know what you can do. Keep some of the money, but tell him you gave it all." Well, when Satan tells us lies, the Holy Spirit with inside of us tells us the truth. The Holy Spirit is there saying, no, you don't want to do that. But Ananias chose to not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He told the Holy Spirit, you know, I think it'll be okay. So he tried to convince others and himself that lying was okay. And then the thing that Peter said was in verse 4, you have not lied to men, but to God. Wait a minute. I thought he told the lie to Peter and the other leaders of the church. Well, see, that means what we say to God's appointed leaders, God sees as if you're saying it to him. Wow. So from Proverbs 12, want to hear a little more what the word has to say? So there's a couple things in Proverbs 12, and Proverbs is wisdom. So if we want to learn something, Proverbs is where to go. So in Proverbs 12, I'm just going to jump around, so don't try to follow me. An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. The Lord hates lying lips, but delights in those who tell the truth. Did you catch those words? Hates and delights. What a difference. Where do you want to be? The Lord hates lying lips, delights in those who tell the truth. David gave us some very helpful advice by what he prayed. David went and said to the Lord, now this was after he had made some wrong choices. This was after he had not told the truth in his actions and in what he said. He comes to God and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That tells us that we don't always know our hearts. We might think we do, but we may not understand that there are could be some lies there, some things that are not true. So David prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Come on. Anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. So I'm going to ask you to play a song in a little bit. So I have a question. Are you and I brave enough to pray that? Are we brave enough to say, God, search my heart and tell me if there is anything there that displeases you? Come on, what if he finds something? See, when you pray something like that, you have to be brave enough, courageous enough to hear the answer. Search me, O God. Know my heart, know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, sometimes we bury things, we push them down, and we go on pretending they're not even there. We pretend that they're not hidden down there somewhere. What if Ananias and Sapphira had stopped and prayed that? They might not have been taken out the back and buried in the cemetery in the church backyard. Right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. So I want us to pause a minute and listen to a song, and then we're going to return and look more into what the written word says about truth.
Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them, never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. But truth be told, the truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
When they listen to a song like that, they think, oh, tell the truth. That means I now get to tell that person exactly what I think of them. No, because the written word also says, be kind and tenderhearted. So if it's not kind, don't say it. And if it's not motivated by love, then maybe it's best to keep it to yourself. But see, sometimes we don't pause and say, God, should I actually say that thing? Because I think what he tells some of us is that you're carrying around all these emotions, and when you go to talk to somebody, you just want to dump those emotions. So is that the loving thing to do? Maybe he's the one that we should dump all the emotions on. Amen? All right. So I want to give you a scriptural example here of telling the truth. So we're going to look at, just for a couple minutes, we're going to look at Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had a very interesting role. He was the cup taster to the king. Now, we're not talking about a king of Israel. We're not talking about a king that believed in God. We're talking about a heathen king. The nation of Israel was in captivity. So they were still in a foreign land, and he was serving a heathen king. And he was the guy who, before you would give something to the king, you gave it to him, because if you didn't agree with your present ruler, well, then what you did is you got rid of him. You poisoned him, you killed him, you did something, and then you became king. So they were really concerned about everything the king ate and the king drank. So there was another person who tasted all the food before it got to the king, but Nehemiah was his wine taster. So it would go to Nehemiah, and he'd take a drink. Now, this is his job. He would take a drink, and if he didn't fall down dead, then the drink could go to the king. You got it? The other thing is, when you're in the presence of the king, you always wanted to appear that you loved your job and you loved being in the presence of the king. Okay? Because we don't want to make the king upset. We don't want the king to think we don't enjoy the fact that, you know, you're a foreigner, and here you are serving the king. So it says, one day Nehemiah went before the king, and he was standing there waiting to test the drinks, and he was sad. See, we're talking about being truthful. Why was he sad? Because he had just gotten a report that the few Israelites that still remained in Israel were in bad shape. And he felt within his heart that God wanted him to do something about it. So the king even noticed how sad he was. That was reason to have him killed. Come on. You could get, if you were not happy in the presence of the king. So the king says, Nehemiah, you're not your normal happy self. What's up? He could have said, oh, nothing. Or he could have said, no, I'm fine. Okay, just like the song. But he said, I'm really sad. And Nehemiah said, why are you sad? What's upsetting you? This isn't the way you normally are. If you remember the rest of the story, Nehemiah said, well, if that's the case, and you feel like God wants you to go and help them, I'll give you some time off. How much time do you want? A long time. He didn't say, could I have a week paid time off to go and help? He asked for an extended leave, and Nehemiah actually sent supplies with him and sent protection with him, all because he told the truth. Come on. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, why is that important to know? It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. Okay? Emotions versus thoughts versus what God is saying in your spirit. Joints and bones, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, that means we need this to help us judge what's in here. Because we almost always tend to tell ourselves we're correct, we're right. And then we read the word and we go, oh, maybe something in here isn't quite what it should be. Maybe something is in here isn't actually true. Maybe I'm believing some lies. Some lies about myself. Some lies about God. Some lies about other people. See, you and I need God's help to discern if we are speaking the truth, living the truth, or if we still are believing some lies. In our text today, in Acts 5, God dealt with lies. He dealt with deceit. It was a pretty strong consequence, wasn't it? I'm glad that hasn't continued. I think we'd have a lot less population. What do you think? And a lot more cemeteries. It says a reverence for God and for truth understandably came upon all the people. In verse 12, it says that the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place, and all were with one accord. So let's be brave today. Can we be brave? Can we be courageous? Can we actually spend some time in God's presence saying, search my heart, show me if there are any lies that I'm believing, any deceit, any wrong motives. Ouch. Any wrong motives. Well, what if God finds something? What if we're brave enough to ask the question, spend a little time in quiet talking to Him and listening to Him, and He actually shows us something? Then what are we going to do? Then what? We're told, confess your sins because God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does that look like? Well, God, forgive me for believing the lie. God, forgive me for this wrong motive. I renounce it, turn away from it, and then God, what is the truth? What is the truth? What is it that you want me to know? So you and I want to leave here today different than we came, right? Isn't that part of the reason we come? Is so that as we spend time in His presence, we become more like Him. As we see ourselves reflected in the Word, and the Word divides the truth and the intentions of our heart, we're changed and made different. That's our goal, isn't it? So we're going to spend a little time today praying and listening to a song. And Mike Deal and I are studying a book together. And the chapter that I read for this week was perfect for this morning. So I just want to read a little bit about it so that it spurs us on to enter into his presence and spend some time with him. This is when Jesus was leaving the city of Jericho. Jesus was exiting on the far side of the city when he encountered blind Bartimaeus. He had already passed through the entire city, and nobody there cried out for him until he had passed beyond the walls. This begs the question, when he comes to where you and I are, will he stay? The people of Jericho missed their moment. Unlike the village in John chapter 4 where Jesus stayed several days, Jericho's visitation never stayed into habitation. One blind man saw more than what the whole city saw. And one man delayed Jesus long enough for a miracle to happen. As Jesus passed through the gate, the blind beggar on the side of the road turned to someone standing nearby and said, "Is that him? Is that Jesus?" "Yes, yes, Bartimaeus, that's him, that's Jesus." "Then you'd better get out of my way, because I'm going to lose my dignity." Hear me, friends. You can't preserve your dignity and seek his deity. You can't save your face and seek his face. At some point, you are going to have to lose your manners. You're going to have to lay down your protocol. You need to forget what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, and when you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to then go down to the very basics. Is it him? Is he coming close? I don't know how you feel, but I refuse to let him get close and pass by. Just like the blind man did, yell out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So today as we listen to this song, I want you to just say, "Jesus, don't pass me by. Don't pass us by. I want to encounter you today. I want to meet with you today." And maybe you're here today and you've never met Jesus as your Savior. This is a perfect time to do that. Because Jesus came and died on the cross for every single man and every single woman. The Word says that God so loved the world. It didn't say God so loved church people, God so loved good people, God so loved people who never make a mistake, that God only loves the people who have been in church all their life. No, it says God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Now listen, that whosoever. See, that means today you can be a whosoever. Because that invitation is open to everybody. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on! That means that invitation is available to anyone, and all you have to pray is, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of the things I did that has displeased you. And I want to follow you the rest of my life." Amen? It's that easy. "Jesus, forgive me for the things that I did that displeased you. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place." That means it should have been you and I. It should have been for what you and I did wrong. But he said, "No, I'll do it for them. I'll take their place." And if we believe in him, we can be saved and instantly have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and our sins forgiven. It says, even though your sins is as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Come on. And that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. You can't get any further apart. And then you now become his son and his daughter. And he not only comes to give us eternal life, but abundant life. So as we listen to this song, if you haven't met Jesus yet, meet him. If you already know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then say, come, examine my heart today. Show me if there's any lies I'm believing. Show me if there's any wrong motives. Show me if I haven't been seeing the truth. I want to see truth today. And remember, Jesus is the truth. So you're asking for an encounter with Jesus today.
I know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. And I know what time it is, because time stood still. Bodies were healed, families restored, because we stayed here in the presence of the Lord. And no one had to say a word, couldn't even make a sound. But I'd give up everything for this treasure I found. I never wanted to be alone. So I say, stay. I don't want you to go. Cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. I'm the only one who has a burning heart. Would you say, I want more?
So let's pray together. Jesus, I am so thankful that in obedience to the Father that you were willing to come and that you were willing to take our place. You were willing to take our penalty. You were willing to die in our place. And we know that the Father caused you to be risen and you now sit at the right hand of the Father interceding for us as our high priest. So Jesus, we thank you that you're our Savior, our Lord, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, our healer, deliverer, provider. And Jesus, that today, if up until this point we had not committed our lives to you, that we can just take a minute and make that transaction, make that agreement. That we can ask you to forgive us and cleanse us. That we can ask you to forgive us of our sins. And that we can say, from this day forward, I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to live for Jesus. And when we make that decision, then you send the Holy Spirit to live with inside of us, to help us follow through in that commitment. You send the Holy Spirit upon us to confirm within us that we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And your word tells us that you have a good plan for our lives. And we want to follow that plan and that purpose. Today, Father, in relationship to the message that you gave us about truth and about having you examine our hearts to make sure that there are no lies there, to make sure there's no deceit there, to make sure that there are no wrong motives there. We've prayed and asked you, oh God, search our hearts. Search our hearts this morning and show us if there is anything that has offended you. And if you've placed your finger on something, if you've shown the light of the word on something, and we went, oh, look at that. That is a lie. That isn't truth. That's something that offends my Father. Then today, we just do what your word tells us. We confess that that is wrong. And we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, of those things that we do that displease you. And that you will come and that you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father God, we ask that you would speak to us today and throughout this week truth. Truth that would dispel the lies that we're believing. Truth that would push out any lie that we're believing about who we are. If we're not understanding how much we're loved, communicate that. If we are not understanding what it means to be a son of God or a daughter of God, of the King of Kings, come and speak that truth to us this week. Jesus, we want more of you. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. You said that no one comes to the Father but by me, and that you are the resurrection and the life. Come this week. And be truth in us and to us. And be truth through us. Help us to pause and examine what we're about to say. Is it truth? Is it kind? Is it loving? Does it represent Jesus well? Is it kind? Is it loving? Is it true? And does it represent you well, Jesus? We thank you for this message this morning from your word. And we know that truth is important to you. And as your followers, truth is important to us. And the people said, amen. You are dismissed today.